Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and his truth endures to all generations.
I see three bars. I think we're in good shape. If you're visiting, thank you for being here, and thank you for your patience during the battery fiasco. We're glad to have you with us, and if you haven't been here in a while or it's your first time coming, you came in the middle of a series on worship. We did some introductory lessons on worship. Last week, we talked about the Lord's Supper. This week, if you can't already guess by the songs and the call to worship, we're talking about singing today, and I'm really excited about this particular lesson. Singing is one of those things that people enjoy, even if it's listening to somebody else sing. We enjoy singing. And it's the one thing that we do collectively in our worship services where no one is passive. We are all active. When we're praying, we have one leader is active and the rest of us are passively praying with him. Same right now as we're sharing, about to share in God's word. You're actively listening, but you're passively studying along, hopefully. And you don't have like a comic book there inside your Bible you're looking at instead. But we in singing, we are all engaging together, our voices in praise to God and our voices to encourage one another. And it's a great part of our worship service. Would you pray with me as we begin? Thank you, Father, so much for this morning, for the opportunity to come before you in worship, and for the songs that we've sung, for the remembrance that we've had, for the opportunity to give to you, and for the petitions we've offered your way. As we open up your word, Father, we ask you to instruct us, to guide us, and help us as we learn to be more like your Son. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. A dear friend, great gospel preacher, college professor, and one of my mentors, by the name of Tom Holland, whatever town he would go to, he would always avail himself to the funeral homes in case somebody came in there and did not have a minister or a preacher they could call on when they lost a loved one. And he gets a call one day, and he goes up to meet with his family, and there's three siblings that are there, of a woman who was not a member of a church anywhere. As far as the children remembered, they had never attended church services before. So he's helping to guide them through this process of putting together a memorial. And he says, are there any songs that you would like to sing? And they're just sitting there looking at each other. And he goes, you know, was there a favorite hymn or anything that your mom had? No. No songs about heaven or anything like that. And one of the young ladies looks up at him and goes, well, she always did like, if heaven ain't a lot like Dixie, I ain't going. That's not the kind of songs we're talking about today. And he told that in jest, but it's really a sad statement, but it's funny at the same time. We're talking about the songs that we sing as believers in an almighty God who sent his Son to this earth, that we teach and we admonish one another and we praise him and we are encouraged as we share our voices together. The quality of the singing helps, but it's the heart that matters. It's the heart that matters. In my many years of going to South America, to Guyana, and being with the Amerindians there and teaching them and being involved in encouragement and in evangelism and all the things that we've done in Guyana, I can proudly say without fear of contradiction that the vast majority of Amerindians are bad singers. Especially some of the ladies. The men sing low and monotone, but some of the ladies sing really high and screechy. And if you're paying attention to the quality, you can be very discouraged. But let me tell you something that happens. All of their buildings are open air. They're concrete block with split block for air to come in, and they've got metal roofs and they've got concrete floors. They're pretty basic. There's no separate rooms or anything, just a few entrances to come in there. But you get a bunch of Amerindians that don't know how to sing, and you put them in that building, and when they sing together, it's beautiful. It's amazing how that works. And I think there's a reason that God brings us together to sing together, because when our one voice together lifts up, it's not only beautiful to our ears, it's beautiful to God when it comes from a heart of thankfulness. As we have talked about worship, we began by looking in John chapter 4, Jesus' interaction with the Samaritan woman at the well. And he tells her that the time now is that God is looking for true worshipers to worship him in spirit and truth. That doesn't exclude our singing, does it? We need to worship in our songs in spirit and truth. And as we saw in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through 16, that God is a holy God, and we must see him as a holy God, and God wants us to treat holy things as holy. And we've got to recognize the holiness of God, and it's going to change how we respond to him in our worship. It's going to change everything about it. Now, singing is one of those things that is actually a response of our emotions. You know, when we're happy, all right, I'm going to throw Lyndon under the bus. Anybody spend any time around Lyndon knows that he's walking along, he'll just break into a song. He'll start whistling, and you know that he's in a good mood when he's doing that. He just goes, and he's walking on his tiptoes, walking around, because he's happy. His emotions are pouring out in that song or as he's whistling or whatever. That's one of the ways that we sing. You know, sometimes we sing when we're sad. Sometimes, you know, we're singing to remember something from the past, someone from the past that's gone on. But sometimes, you know, we sing because we're just overwhelmed with our love and awe for God. I mean, we're brought to our knees at how amazing God is and what all he's done for us, and we just can't help but praise him. And the little simple songs. I don't know if you know it. There's a little song called Thank You, Lord. It's not in our books. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord. Simple and profound. And we're just brought to that place in our souls where we just can't help it. We just got to sing. There are 16 places in our New Testament that talk about singing. But of those 16 places, there's only 6 that are instructive in nature when it comes to worship. For instance, in Acts 16, we see Paul and Silas in prison singing a hymn at midnight. That's not instructive to us unless you're in prison at midnight. And then you got to sing a hymn. And then everybody gets mad at you because you kept them up all night the next day when you're at breakfast. But it's an incidental passage. It mentions what they were doing, but it's not provided there to be instructive. But there are 6 that do instruct us directly as the collective body of Christ. And we want to look at those for just a couple of minutes. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 15. Now, if you've never spent a great deal of time analyzing this, you can look in the book of 1 Corinthians, this letter, and beginning in chapter 11 and going through the first 2 verses of chapter 16, you have described an entire worship service of the New Testament church. In chapter 11, it talks about the Lord's Supper. When we get to chapter 12, it's talking about the spiritual gifts that they were given, and those are the miraculous spiritual gifts that we don't have any longer. In chapter 13, that those gifts are to be exercised in love. And when you get to chapter 14, the Apostle Paul is talking to them about their assembly. When they come together as a church, they were misusing those gifts. And here in chapter 14 and 15, he talks about prayer and singing. In chapter 15, he's going to talk about preaching the gospel. And in chapter 16, he's going to talk about giving. From chapter 11 through chapter 16, you have an entire worship service of the New Testament church outlined for us. It's right there in an instruction to one congregation. Here in chapter 14 and verse 15, he says, what is the conclusion then? I will pray with the Spirit. I will also pray with the understanding. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will also sing with the understanding. We are to sing with the Spirit, our inward part of who we are. It's to come from deep down inside of who we are. But we're also to sing with the understanding, and that word literally means the mind or the intellect. Do you know that we need to understand what we're singing? We need to know what we're singing about. And you know, some of our older hymns are absolutely beautiful, but we probably need to get a dictionary on a few of them so we know what we're singing about. Night with Ebon Pinion. You know, unless you grew up studying English literature and reading Shakespeare, you probably don't know what that song is talking about in that opening line. But it's a beautiful hymn, and I think we ought to sing it, but I think we need to know what we're singing when we do. It's important to engage our minds in our singing. A little bit further in the same chapter, verse 26, because of the confusion that was happening in the assemblies of this church, and that's what's being corrected from chapters 11 through 16, the Apostle Paul says, how is it then, brethren, whenever you come together, each of you has a psalm, a teaching, a tongue, a revelation, an interpretation. Let all things be done for edification. The way they were engaging in worship was not edifying. It was not building up the body. But our singing, along with everything else that we do, should be for building each other up. We're encouraging one another to grow and to be built up. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15, the Hebrew writer encouraging some very discouraged Christians says, therefore by him, speaking of Jesus Christ, therefore by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Singing is the sacrifice of praise to God. Do you know that we're offering a sacrifice of sorts when we sing? We're giving something up to God. That sacrifice of praise is the fruit of our lips. It's not something that we can just imagine inside of our heads. It's something that's got to come out of who we are. And it is a means of giving thanks to God. You're going to notice something as we work our way through this, that thanksgiving and singing are tied. I mean, they're inseparable. They're so close to one another. In James chapter 5, verse 13, is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? What are they supposed to do there, Brother Lyndon? Let him sing psalms. A cheerful heart. It's a cheerful thing when we express ourselves in singing to God. It's a beautiful thing that we do. Now, the two most well-known passages are in Ephesians chapter 5 and Colossians chapter 3. And we want to look at those to see what we can glean as far as our singing is concerned. Let's go over to Ephesians chapter 5 beginning, and let's look at verses 17 through 20. 17 through 20. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this passage sets against each other a pagan god, Dionysus, the god of wine. You can imagine how you worshiped him. You got drunk. And it sets these two things opposed to each other, Christian worship versus pagan worship. Instead of getting drunk and worshiping this false god, be filled with the Spirit when you come together. So he says that in singing, we are to be filled with the Spirit. We are to speak to one another. We're praising God, but while we're praising God, we're actually speaking to one another in our songs. Our opening song, "Come We That Love the Lord." Who are we singing to there? We're singing to each other. We're encouraging each other. We're speaking to one another. And we're to bring that melody from the heart. It's coming from the inside out. You know, Jesus tells us that from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And I want to paraphrase, and I hope I don't do any harm to what Jesus says, but from the abundance of the heart, the mouth sings. It's coming from deep down inside, and it's pouring forth. And singing is a continual giving thanks to God. You know, our senses are special to us. And I speak as a person who knows, because my father became blind about 5 years before he passed away. And I saw how difficult that was for him to, and he never really made the transition. He just kind of settled in, but he never was able to transition into being blind. And he lost that sense. I can't imagine what it would be like to lose the ability to speak and to sing, and there's about 250 people saying, "Well, we'd like to find out." Okay, just a few of you then. But the point is, we sing and we take it for granted when we come here. I will sing the wondrous story. I will sing of my Redeemer. All these beautiful songs that we've been pouring forth. You know, we take for granted the fact that we can sing. What if that was taken away from you and you were not able to engage in that activity any longer? Would you miss it? I know I would. I would miss it terribly. Now, in Colossians chapter 3, we have what is known as a parallel passage. The letters to the Ephesian church and the Colossian church were written at the same time while Paul was in prison. And you will notice if you set them side by side, there are many sections that read almost exactly the same. There are very stark differences, but there are several things that both churches need to learn from. And when Paul's writing to them, he's telling them pretty much the same thing. In verses 15 through 17, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." This particular passage finds itself at the end of a list of attitudes that the Christians were supposed to clothe themselves in. We're to be clothed in these attitudes, bearing with one another, loving one another, forgiving one another. All these things are listed. And here he says, "And let the word of Christ dwell in you richly." When we're singing, the word of Christ is dwelling in us. Several of the songs that we've sung so far have had snippets of scripture, almost verbatim, fitted in there. Now, if you look at Ephesians chapter 5, I'm going to point you to something. We're not going to spend any time on it, any length. And you look at Colossians chapter 3, one says be filled with the Spirit, the other says to be filled with the Word of Christ. Is there a difference between those? I don't think there is. I don't think you can have one without the other. They go hand in hand with each other. That's an important thing because he's not telling one church to be filled with one thing and another church to be filled with something else. He's bringing them together in harmony. And instead of speaking to one another, he says we teach and admonish one another in these psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. We teach each other. We encourage, we admonish, and sometimes an admonition can be a negative thing because of something we're doing wrong. But an admonition can also be a positive thing to encourage what we're doing right. We bring forth grace from our hearts. We're bringing melody and we're bringing the grace of God out of our hearts as we sing to one another. And we sing in the name of the Lord Jesus, continually offering thanks. Like I said, we're going to see Thanksgiving all the way through at our singing. And as you bring all these texts together, we as Christians, when we sing, our singing should be done with the Spirit, and we should understand what we're singing. We should engage our minds. When we sing, we are edifying one another as we speak and teach and admonish one another. When we sing, we are offering the sacrifice of praise, the fruit of our lips. I want to talk about lips for just a second. Now, you guys that are out there, if I came up to your girlfriend or your wife and I gave her a little peck on the cheek, you might say, oh, that's sweet, or I wonder what he's up to. If I kiss your wife on your lips, you might want to take me outside and have a conversation. Why? Because the lips are a very intimate part of our bodies, right? That's reserved for very few people. Do you know in worship, everything we do involves the lips? The speaking and preaching and reading of God's word comes across our lips. When we sing, it's the fruit of our lips. When we take the Lord's Supper, the bread and the cup pass over our lips. When we pray, our prayers cross our lips. And when we give, we breathe out, thank you, God, for your gifts. You see, our worship is an intimate relationship between the worshiper and our God. And our sacrifice of praise is the fruit of our lips. It's a beautiful thing that we're engaging in with God. And we're to be filled with the Spirit. And the Word of Christ is to dwell richly in us. By means of these psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, Spirit-filled believers build one another up, giving thanks always in every circumstance for what God has done for us. And we're going to do something a little different now. We're going to sing three songs before we come back and conclude our lesson. We sing in times of joy and happiness. And it was just read a few moments ago, Psalm 100. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that he is the Lord. He is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations.
Has His mercy and His grace. In the mansion bright and blessed, He'll prepare for us a place. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. While we walk the pilgrim pathway, clouds will overspread the sky. But when traveling days are over, not a shadow, not a sigh. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Onward to the prize before us, soon His beauty will behold. Soon the pearly gates will open, we shall tread the streets of gold. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory.
We also sing in times of sadness, in times of mourning, and times of uncertainty. In Psalm 137, verses 1 through 6, those who were exiled to Babylon wrote, "By the rivers of Babylon we sat down, yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hung our harps upon the willows in the midst of it. For there those who carried us away captive asked of us a song. And those who plundered us requested mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? If I forget you, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget its skill. If I do not remember you, let my tongue cling to the roof of my mouth. If I do not exalt Jerusalem above my chief joy."
Me living below in this old sinful world, hardly a comfort can afford. Striving alone to face temptation sore, where could I go but to the Lord? Where could I go? Oh, where could I go, seeking a refuge for my soul, needing a friend to save me in the end? Where could I go but to the Lord? Neighbors are kind, I love them, everyone. We get along in sweet accord. But when my soul needs manna from above, where could I go but to the Lord? Where could I go? Seeking a refuge for my soul, needing a friend to save me in the end. Where could I go but to the Lord? Life here is grand, with friends I love so dear. Comfort I get from God's own word. Yet when I face the chilling hand of death, where could I go but to the Lord? Where could I go? Oh, where could I go? Seeking a refuge for my soul, needing a friend to save me in the end. Where could I go but to the Lord?
We also sing during times of praise and adoration, those times when our heart is overwhelmed with love and awe for our Creator. Psalm 95, 1 through the first part of verse 7. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with singing. Let us shout joyfully to Him with songs. For the Lord is a great God and the great King above all gods. In His hand are the deep places of the earth. The heights of the hills are His also. The sea is His, for He made it, and His hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for He is our God, and we are the sheep of His pasture, people of His pasture, and the sheep of His hand.
When we come to the course of this song, and it's appropriate, if you feel compelled, let's stand for the remainder of the song. Well, you can stand before we start then. Whatever. Do, so, mi, do, mi. You are beautiful beyond description, too marvelous for word, too wonderful for comprehension. Like nothing ever seen or heard, who can grasp your infinite wisdom? Who can fathom the depth of your love? You are beautiful beyond description, majesty enthroned above. And I stand in awe of you. I stand in awe of you. Holy God, to whom all praise is due, I stand in awe of you. Savior, how I long to meet you in heaven's glory bright. The Lamb of God, so high and holy, in all your majesty and light, then forever I will adore you. Took my sin and my shame. I will gladly bow my knee before you and praise your name above all names. And I stand in awe of you. I stand in awe of you, holy God, to whom all praise is due.
Mike let me down again. I was just so excited to get up here and talk about this. When I train song leaders, and I've done it for a number of years in Lads to Leaders and in workshops and things like that, I always teach my song leaders, before you ever sing a song, read the lyrics. Read to understand what the author is trying to get across, so that when you lead the song, you can lead it as the song leader was trying, or the songwriter was trying to convey this message. We're about to sing an invitation song. And the song is, days are filled with sorrow and care. Hearts are lonely and drear. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Cast your care on Jesus today. Leave your worry and fear. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Troubled soul, the Savior can see every heartache and tear. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Calvary, Calvary. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. This is a beautiful hymn, and it's important for us to think about the words, no matter how familiar a song may be to us. Sometimes it's a mindless thing, and as we saw, we're to sing with understanding. Our minds are to be engaged, and even if it's a song you've sung a million times, focus on those words, because if you remember, we're speaking, teaching, and admonishing one another with this song. This is a part of our service that we call the invitation. It's the Lord's invitation. It's not mine. It's not the elders. It's not anybody else's. It's His invitation bidding you to come. In Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Jesus bids us to come, and we offer the opportunity to come. And we use a song to encourage us to come. And whether you are a Christian that is struggling today with depression of some kind, emotional distress, financial concerns, relational concerns, or maybe you found yourself falling back into the habits of sin, this invitation is for you, because your burdens are lifted at Calvary. And maybe you're not a New Testament Christian, you've never put on Christ in baptism, but you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. If you believe that, are you willing to give up your former life, repent of the things that you've done in your life, confess the precious name of Jesus Christ? I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, just like Peter made that confession, the Ethiopian eunuch, and others have made that confession, and humbly submit to being buried in water, joining Jesus at Calvary in His death, being buried there in the nearby tomb, and then being raised to walk in a new life, a forgiven life. In our baptism, our sins are forgiven because God applies the blood of Jesus Christ. In our baptism, you have a new identity because you are clothed in Christ. And you have a new affiliation in baptism because Jesus, the Lord, adds you to His church. As we sing, as we speak to you today, as we teach and admonish you today, we invite you to come to Calvary to begin your new walk with Christ. If you have a need, make it known to us, please, as together we stand and sing.